Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. They say don't call it a comeback. We'll tell you about it because the Masters has some interesting storylines that are going on. That's on the way in about 10 minutes. Mike, as we get ready for the draft, the NFL draft on April 24th. That is round one, by the way. That whole weekend, the draft will play out, and hopefully we add some more picks. I know Mike's been doing some mock drafts, and you know, with the mocks, you can kind of add some picks and make some deals and trades. I don't know if the Falcons do that, but we do know this. We've got to get impact. We need impact players, especially with that 15th overall pick, Mike.
I am not going to mock.
If we stay there, great. If we move up or back, however we need to do, we need impact. And that is something we've been looking at. But this thing, Mike, it seems like some of these picks are falling in place, at least in front of us, right? The early picks.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, you know, again, will there be three quarterbacks before 15? That's kind of hard to envision unless somebody is really in love with Jackson Dart. I can't. You see that? I don't see that. Not buying that. And no one's going up to Jalen Milroe over that. I mean, you can get him in the bottom of the first round at tops, you know, if not in the second round. But everything and everyone agrees, it does come down to, are the Browns going to go get their quarterback? Do they believe in Shedeur Sanders? Are they going to go with Travis Hunter? Do the Giants then say they believe in Shedeur Sanders? No, they don't. They believe in Abdul Carter. And then, okay, then the Patriots have already got a quarterback. Jacksonville's got a quarterback. Raiders for now have got a quarterback. Right.
Right. They do.
I mean, they've given some money to Geno Smith. So it's not like, you know, right now they do that. And then you get to the Jets, and the Jets have been linked actually to Jackson Dart on some of these mock drafts. So there are mock drafts where Jackson Dart is in the top 15. But that's good. The more quarterbacks, the better. That means there's better likelihood of whoever, whichever defensive end or edge rush slash OLB you desire, Carl, will be there for us.
No doubt. And that gets us to one of the things that happened today. Speaking of quarterbacks, Joe Flacco is rejoining the Browns. Now, you're saying, Dukes and Bell, what's that got to do with me? It has more to do with Kirk Cousins. If you were a believer that the Browns were in the mix, and many people did, that, hey, they're going to go get Kirk Cousins. They're just going to wait. They're going to make a move, but it's going to be in a little while. Well, Flacco rejoins them 1 year, $4 million. I'm not telling you he's the starter, but I certainly don't think Kenny Pickett is either. But at least they have somebody, Mike, that they can trust and go to if they feel like, hey, we need to start the season with Flacco.
Now, a lot of Browns fans upset they didn't go with Flacco last year. He wound up as a backup. Chris, where did he wind up? He was backing up somebody Indianapolis, because Anthony Richardson had his little meltdown. They remember they benched him, and then Flacco got in there, and it is what it is. But the Browns went to the playoffs 2 years ago. Did they lose to the Texans? But Joe oversaw a next four-game stretch, which got him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that would, I think, Carl, eliminate us from Kirk Cousins being traded to Cleveland. Certainly not pre-draft, and you could still argue that, you know, if they don't or they decide not to go Shedeur Sanders, I still don't think that they're going to be talking to us about Kirk Cousins. Flacco is serviceable. Kirk Cousins is going to want, he's going to first got to sign off on it. And if anybody brings a quarterback in, Cleveland was the best fit for us. So now that takes the only team we thought was possible. If Aaron Rodgers retires and the Steelers, they're still going to go get a quarterback.
I think so, too.
And then Kirk's already said, I can't have a young stud over my shoulder again. And like, in his defense, he thought he was coming here with his own show. And then they kind of did pull the rug out from under him. And if you want to say that Kirk's being a baby, so be it. But he was under the understanding that we were not going to draft a quarterback.
Cleveland holds a second overall pick, and this is what makes this interesting at the top. Again, getting Flacco, this is now. right? It doesn't mean that you're not thinking about the future. And again, with Deshaun Watson, who's rehabbing that Achilles, you got to think about 3-4 years down the road. So even with the second overall pick, Mike, you've got to believe, or at least I do, they've got to be considering quarterback. But do they love any of these guys outside of Cam Ward, who they're not going to get, allegedly, the Titans are going to take him, to pick one of these guys? Or do they just wait? And if they wait and do it later, that's about value. That's great.
Right.
But it also means you don't get the pick of the litter. You don't get the guy that maybe you feel like this is the guy that fits us. Either way, it does affect the Falcons.
Now, the newest wrinkle to the quarterback conundrum is the Derek Carr situation. You were just talking about that with me off the air. Derek Carr has apparently got a more serious shoulder injury than they anticipated, which may make him miss part of, if not all, of the season. So now, all of a sudden, do you think the Saints maybe move heaven and earth to get into that top, you know, top five to go get their quarterback?
Well, what are they, 9 right now? I believe they are 9.
Yep, the Saints are picking number 9.
I don't know if they have to move.
You think Shador Sanders falls to them, or they go Jack? Oh, they really like Jackson Dart.
Right, and this is why I'm saying that. I don't know if they have to move. Here's the thing: if you feel like, and there are people who are saying that these guys are on the same plane, okay, meaning Shador and Dart, and maybe even Jalen Milroe, who may need some more development, they're all on the same plane. Well, Mike, if that's the case, I don't need to move to go get them. I just wait to play it out and see which guy is available if they're all on the same plane. There's no one that's above one or the other in many assessments around the NFL. Now, I don't believe that. I think there's Cam, I think there's Shador, and then these other guys, that's a different level. But if you believe that, then you're in New Orleans. I don't have to spend some draft capital to do that. I'm going to stay at 9.
Mm.
If in fact, Derek Carr, remember I told you guys this, Carr was upset. They moved his money forward. They paid him, Mike. He wanted to leverage that and try to get out of maybe New Orleans. The guy that brought him there is not the coach anymore. I don't think he's happy. So now all of a sudden, Mike, it's April, and we're talking about he may need shoulder surgery that could keep him out. His availability is in doubt. That's interesting. That's interesting.
And the other thing today, we had Brian McFadden on. You're going to hear that conversation coming up in less than an hour. And we were saying, do you think, and I asked Carl this yesterday, when it comes to like the Aaron Rodgers scenario, right? We're talking about teams that need quarterbacks. The Steelers need one.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a point where the Steelers go, all right, forget it. Forget you. You know, I'm not going to wait around. And then Brian brought up a good point.
What are we in elementary school?
Forget you.
Forget you.
But Brian brought up a good point. Saying, look, they've taken it this far down the road. And Aaron Rodgers, look, certainly on that team is going to put them in the playoffs, if not more. So, okay, maybe they just ride it out. But, I mean, that's the thing. We got to get Kirk Cousins off the payroll. Steelers are about one of the only teams he could go to if Aaron Rodgers was to either retire or somehow wind up in Minnesota, which seems like a very, very long shot. But, man, all of a sudden now, yeah, 3 quarterbacks are definitely in play. And the Jackson Dart thing, it is kind of – now, are they forcing the issue with Jackson Dart? It's not as bad as the Steelers with Kenny Pickett. But is it Mitch Trubisky all over again?
Ooh.
You're falling in love with the measurables, and
yeah.
You know, oh,
yeah.
You know. I mean, I think maybe he'd be the right guy on the right team, but it's, man, I don't know about that.
I don't either. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. There are things going on around the league that certainly are going to affect how teams look at situations. And again, the Saints, I think they're in the quarterback market anyway, Mike. I don't even know if this injury to Carr has
makes a difference.
Yeah, like it set them on that path. I think they're in the quarterback market anyway. You buying Spencer Rattler?
No. You've seen what you got, and you ain't got it.
Okay. So they know that. They're rebuilding anyway. Hi, New Orleans. And so why not just go ahead and take a quarterback this particular draft? Mike, I don't feel like they were not going to look at these quarterbacks in the first place. But I also know, Mike, that defense, we said this, is getting old. And they got to start thinking about replacing some of these guys and looking down the road if they're going to be trying to contend in our division.
Yeah, the Kirk Cousins thing, man, where's that going to play out? I don't know. I think we're just going to end up cutting him. But it would be nice if somebody out there finds themselves, Carl, like musical chairs. Maybe they can't trade to get to the quarterback they want, or somebody snakes him in the, you know, late in the first round to get a quarterback. And that's the, you know, the scenario you've been kind of talking about. You still think he gets cut post-June 1?
I just think that outside of him being as the backup on this team are probably the two scenarios that now play out. But I got to tell you, look – is Arthur Blank being stubborn?
Right.
Is Arthur Blank saying, hey, look, I paid you a lot of money. I don't have to do a damn thing.
Right.
And if that means you're here, so be it. I don't know if that is the approach here, Mike, or not. Either way, I think this is something that we're going to look at as we continue to move. We brought up Kyle Pitts, guys, because he went on Cam Newton's podcast, and I want you to hear a little bit. Again, I've not heard the whole thing. But this is just a snippet, all right? And Pitts is talking to Cam Newton about a variety of things, and just take a listen.
Do you feel like Kyle Pitts is slept on right now?
To the public, yeah.
Penix needs you.
You got to get back to the playoffs. Simple.
Atlanta is waiting.
For the people who really never know what's going on in the huddle, those are the people who had the most say. Like how you say, Bryant, he works his best job for Expedia. He'll never run across the middle, so they think, oh, you're not getting open. Or it could be, damn, O-line might be getting ate up. And if the defense hot and y'all just getting shut down, then that's the week.
Now, again, this wasn't the way the conversation sounded with all the sound effects. They obviously edited that for social media. But the entire podcast, you know, you got Cam and Penix needs you. You know, so you got that going on. And I love, by the way, Pitts, I mean, this is the most animated we've heard Kyle Pitts. You know, granted, we tried to pull it out of him up at camp.
Yeah, we did.
But he was definitely feeling loose. And again, hopefully that looseness translated on the field. But with all due respect to Pitts, you know, we don't know what goes on in the huddle. But, you know, you still got a job to do. Now, if the play isn't called for you, that's, again, that's not your fault. But I did get a kick when he takes, because you always say they listen to everything. Some pencil neck did a breakdown of his work and apparently took it to heart. But as we said earlier in the show, I don't know who that guy is you're talking about who says, you know, he never went over the middle. Greg Olsen went over the middle. Greg Olsen said, you're not running the right routes. Rodney Harrison used to hit guys going over the middle. And he says, you're too big, too athletic to play this soft. So those are peers, those are former players who've done it, not some pencil-pushing turd who's got some blog I never heard of. But it was interesting, though, Carl, when he says, if the offensive line is getting beat, I wouldn't go down that road, Mr. Pitts. I mean, that kind of insinuates something.
Needs you.
Yes, he's not lying. Thank you, Cam. Hey, coming up, what's going on with Scotty Scheffler and Rory? Don't call it a comeback. It's Dukes and Bell.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
We're going to get to the leaderboard in just a second. But, Mike, all right, look, let's go back to this Kyle Pitts thing real quick. Can we go back to this Kyle Pitts thing? We played this soundbite from the podcast with Cam Newton. And here's the thing, guys. And look, I said to Mike earlier, are we going to spend all offseason talking about Kyle Pitts? I was under the impression last year that he was the key to this offense. And I told you guys, I said, he's the guy that's going to make this offense explode. He's got the most veteran quarterback he's played with since Matt Ryan. No more excuses. What happened? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, we had a couple guys hit us up in the text. Oh, you're dogging him out? No, see, this is why I always get a kick whenever we talk about Kyle Pitts or sometimes specific athletes in this town. We're not dogging him out. I mean, we're just talking about, here's his record. Here's the resume. When you're drafted fourth overall, as we said, guys, there, whether you guys don't agree or you disagree or not, I mean, most of us would say that you're expected to be one of the best players at the position.
Yes.
And he's not. He's in the lower third. He's 16th and 17th statistically in almost every important number. The only area he excels at is yards per catch because, unfortunately, there's so few of them. But to me, it's cool if he can take that looseness, if he's got a confidence, and maybe, again, maybe that's the way he always sounds. We've just never heard him say that and sound like that in a soundbite. You know, that's cool. If he's loose and he's got his head in the right space for this season, hopefully that translates to success on the field. But, you know, to sit there and say, you know, you're not inside the huddle, well, okay, then tell me what's going on inside the huddle. You know, I would rather have you say, give me the damn ball than I just work here. You know what I mean? I mean, yes, I don't want a Tariq Hill, Antonio Brown level of I want the ball, but I would like you to speak for yourself if you feel you're being marginalized in the offense and that causes you to check out. I can even accept that. But let me know about that, too.
Yeah.
O-line might be getting ate up.
Okay.
The defense hot.
Yeah. That may be the case. And we've seen those Sundays where you guys get eat up and nothing's working. But here's the other side, and I will defend him on this. As far as, you know, Kyle Pitts' demeanor, he's not a demonstrative dude. He's not a guy who stomps his feet and pounds his chest and wants to be the big macho dude. That's fine. It doesn't make him soft either. So the problem for me is none of that. My issue is production. I don't care how you come across. I don't care if you're the quietest guy in the room or you're the big mouth. Produce. That is my issue when we talk about Pitts. And so when that starts to happen on a regular basis, right, all of this conversation goes away. But it's hit or miss. It's a great catch, Mike, and then it's through his hands, and it's an interception. It's he didn't run the right routes. Oh, they're not throwing him the ball enough. All I want is production. So when I hear this stuff on these podcasts, I hope he's right. I hope Cam is right. I hope Cam talking about Penix needing him and all this stuff. He made a great catch in the Commanders game where Penix threw it low. It was one of those balls like he's going to get it. Nobody's going to get it. He made a great catch. But I need more of that. That's all I'm saying. That's what I want. I don't care about this other stuff that how he acts and what he does and, oh, he's soft. Half these dudes you don't know. We don't know. Produce.
Right. I mean, look, I'm glad that you are. Like, he's hearing all the criticisms. Do something about it. You know, we just talked about Rory McIlroy. We'll tell you about the leaderboard coming up in the Masters. Rory didn't want to talk to the media, and they don't have to on the PGA Tour, in this case of the Masters. But Rory, if he went home last night and got on his phone or on a laptop, everybody said he's done. I said he's done. I'm not the only radio host in America who said that, because in the last 10 years, subsequently, when Rory has a round like that or some kind of meltdown, that's it.
Yep.
It can happen on Saturday. Usually Sunday, he's good, but he's already dug too big a hole for him to get out of. So I read all these articles we talked about earlier where, yeah, you're done. You're back into choke mode. You're not going to be able to overcome this. Rory puts together an unbelievable round, we'll tell you about. And if I'm Kyle Pitts, yeah, you're hearing us on the radio, you're hearing fans, you're hearing some pencil neck who does some website saying that you just don't play right, you don't do the routes. I hope he hears Greg Olson. I hope he hears Rodney Harrison, as I mentioned earlier, because they were specific about, you know, being big and playing soft and not running the right routes. We don't know, you know, as far as what's in the huddle. Does Zach Robinson not call a play for you because he doesn't think you can execute it? I mean, Carl said it. The play against the Commanders, that's excellence. The play against the Giants, that's pathetic. Where you play patty cake with the ball, and that's Michael Penix's first interception in the league, thanks to you. So figure it out, man. Let's go.
It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. And we will check out the podcast because we'll hear what he has to say, because obviously we want to hear and give him credit wherever he's saying, hey, this is the issues or this is what I'm hoping to do. But I don't know about people sleeping on you outside the huddle. People don't sleep on people who put numbers up. We don't sleep on people. Sports fans don't sleep on people who put numbers up. Mm. When you put numbers up, we all have to shut up. You know what they said about Joker when he came in the NBA? Oh, he looks slow, fat. He can't shoot. MVP, MVP, champion. You can't debate what somebody does once they start to produce. So that's my thing. All right, Mike, let's talk about the leaderboard, because today is redemption day for Rory McIlroy. And I got to tell you this. I didn't expect to see him play this well. Boy, he came out on fire.
For those who are not watching golf, or maybe you just missed it, Rory was at 4-under, was really making a run, and all of a sudden a double bogey where he chips inexplicably in 15 into the water, then another double on 17, so now all of a sudden he's back to even par. Today he birdies the number 2 par 5. He birdies 10 and 11. He birdies number 13, so he birdies 2 of the 3 holes at Amen Corner. He gets an eagle on 13, and then he's really rolling. 15, he gets the birdie on the hole that was his nemesis yesterday. Today. So he shoots a 66, and now Rory McIlroy finds himself right there. Man, you got Rose, DeChambeau, and then McIlroy, 8, 7, and 6 under par.
Rose didn't walk away from the group today. He had a nice lead to finish the first day. He shot a 65 yesterday. Today he shoots 71. He had a chance to extend his lead, but Mike, I felt, and this is me, he didn't want to make mistakes. So he played not timid, but he wasn't going to do anything and take risks today. He was just going to let the field maybe catch up to him. Well, guess what? They have. And now this one-shot or two-shot leads over DeChambeau and McIlroy, this thing's going to get interesting.
Yeah, the big mover today was Rory. He picks up 6 strokes today. DeChambeau picks up 4 strokes. He goes to 7-under, as we mentioned. The big one today, though, you and I are watching Scotty Scheffler. Scheffler gets the 6-under, so he's just 2 strokes back. And then bogey. We're like, uh-oh, he's leaking. And then Scotty Scheffler, Carl and I were watching. I mean, it was absolute gold. He's on, number 11.
Yep.
And then we're sitting there, we're going, oh, man, is he going to be able to make this? No, he gets the par there. And then, if you hadn't been watching, at 12, he goes long on the par 3, goes over the back of the green, he chips in for his birdie, and now he gets to 5-under. So Scotty Scheffler in the middle of Amen Corner at 5-under after stopping the bleeding and getting a miraculous chip in for a bird.
So if you look at this, all right, 5-under, 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 Jason Day, 5-under. Shane Lowry, 5-under.
I got Jason Day in my Calcutta.
And we're not even talking about him. He's in the hunt. Shane Lowry, 5-under. There are a bunch of guys that are grouped together there. And then you get to, again, Corey Connors and Matt McCarty, 6-under for Connors and Rory, and then Bryson at 7-under. This leaderboard is stacked with brand names and guys that you're familiar with. And I got to tell you, for golf, it's great. And there are some guys who will make a run tomorrow, Mike. Moving day on Saturday, we'll see who makes a move and who continues to climb. But today, Rory, man, this was one of, if not his most impressive rounds. If he wins this, this is one of those stories for the ages, because he was in contention first day, looked like he was done, and then now he is.
Projected cut right now, guys, is at 3 over. So right now, that's a good news for Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and Phil Mickelson. If they stay where they are right now, they're going to make the cut for this one. But bad news for Dustin Johnson right now. He's going home from LIV Golf. Brooks Koepka had a terrible round. He's going home as well. So the guy and Jon Rahm, Man, it's been ugly for John Rahm. He's grinding, trying to make this cut. John Rahm right now is at 2 over. Oh. So he's just one stroke above that. If it stays at 3 over, he's okay. If it moves to 2 over, he's gone.
He's gone. Yeah. By the way, the only guy, surprise, to not be in the top 10 in day one and come back and win the Masters is Tiger. And he's done it twice. If Rory pulls this off, he'll be the third. So this is pretty elite company. And again, to chase Mike again, what he's chasing, which is the career Grand Slam, which is why all the pressure was on him coming into this thing and saying, hey, he's winning. He looks great. He looks like he's going to get it done.
And you mentioned it because Tiger would be like Dale Earnhardt Sr. in qualifying. He would never qualify great. Next, he'd come through the field. He'd go from like 27th to like second at Daytona. Tiger sometimes wouldn't really blow you away the first day, right? And then Friday or then especially Saturday and moving day, whammy. And then you're looking up and Tiger's got the lead. But Rory hasn't been able to do that, you know, since 2014. That's what makes this, as we said, why do you watch sports? This is a guy trying to beat what's going on inside his head because he's been choking away moments like this. So as Carlos said, this has got to be a huge boost for him. And, you know, I got to be honest. I think he's maybe missed the landmine, got past what happened on Thursday.
Yeah.
But there's so many guys on social media going, nah, Rory will still blow it.
well, we'll see. I said yesterday, is Justin Rose going to wet the bed? I mean, like, to be in this position – listen, it's easy to chase. It's hard to be atop this thing, Mike, and everybody's watching for you to make a mistake and then how you react. He's played 2 days of really good golf. 65, 71, okay. But I don't know if Justin Rose is going to wet the bed either. And by the way, here's the reason why you can't count Scotty out. I mean, he's five, what is he, 1, 2, 3 back, Mike?
Right.
But he's got that championship mantle. He knows how to win these things.
So certainly with a couple of he's right now in amen corner. He just parred 13, so he didn't get a chance to get a birdie on 13, the par 5. But Justin Rose, he was grinding. At one point, he was 9 under. Then he kind of went. It was bogey, birdie, bogey, birdie. Here's Justin Rose on his round.
It was such a fun day out there. Had the energy going, had the feel going, knew I was doing something pretty special. It felt like a bit of a no-hitter there for a while. Like, everything was just going my way. I was kind of navigating the tough holes really well, was kind of finding my birdie opportunities on the holes where you could. And definitely there was a little moment around the middle of the round, middle of the back nine, you know, up and downs on 14 and 15, I thought were huge for me, and then buried the putt on 16. And at that point, I actually felt on the front foot, you know, it felt like 17 and 18 were somewhat gettable, but two poor tee shots, unfortunately, another good up and down on 17, and then finally kind of came unstuck on 18, but great day.
He maneuvered the greens as well as you could, and these greens, you guys know if you're watching or, you know, the history of this tournament is slippery. He said something very interesting, though, today. He said, I'm 44. Golf is not getting easier for me in the next 5 to 10 years or whatever it's going to be. You got to take advantage of your opportunities and make the most of it.
Because he knows this is it. I mean, and by the way, for those who don't remember, he won a major. I think it was the U.S. Open in 2012. So he's got a chance to bookend it, get that second major, punch his ticket to the World Golf Hall of Fame and all that sort of thing. Legacy, baby, legacy.
Coming up, the big bear, baby. He came through for us last night.
And the faux bear.
Well, many of you didn't see it, though. It's Dukes and Bell. So did you need a little nappy poo, Grant? Little nappy poo after late night last night? It is Grant McCauley. He is our baseball insider. And Braves win last night. Boy, I mean, look, a lot of people fell asleep not knowing if this game was going to continue or not.
I did.
2:45, I think, rain delay. But, Grant, we know you did. And, boy, we needed that one last night, didn't we?
Well, if you did fall asleep, the good news is the Braves set off an alarm to let you know that they won by playing a train whistle for, depending on reports, 3 to 5 to 7 or more minutes.
Wow. That,
as I like to say, you could probably hear from space. So there is that, and they were able to come through with, I think, a much-needed win, a much-needed series win, B. And then when you consider who it was against, how it happened, everything that went into it, this starts to look and feel a lot more like the Atlanta Braves team that we were expecting to see. Competitive, they got the good pitching, they were able to get the hits when they needed them, they got some heroics at the plate, and the bullpen did its job as well on what was anything but an ideal night and the ideal conditions or circumstances for picking up a win. The Braves found a way to do it, and that sends them out onto the road with a little bit of momentum. First off in Tampa, and then, of course, the trip up to Toronto, where we could have some very interesting news, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yeah, man. And by the way, the game, I heard the Philly fans are upset because they had to get all the way to the airport at 2 a.m. or whenever, and they got all night. I know that's what I said, Grant. But do you give the umpires credit, though, for getting the game in, considering the Braves already had one rainout on their schedule or one postponement with the Marlins?
Look, nobody wants to continue to tack on doubleheaders just because there is a storm. And I think that the Lightning also played a big part in it, but obviously there were some some downpours. But if there is a chance to make up a, or excuse me, to get a game in and not have to make it up, every effort is supposed to be made. Usually that's only a couple of hours. This was a little bit longer than that, but they felt like they had the window. They were able to get it in, and I think it's just one of those things where both teams had to go through it. Both teams were heading out on the road, so it's the same general feeling, I'm sure, on both sides. It just feels better if you win.
Grant McCauley joining us, guys, as we talk about our Braves. Let's talk about the pitching, specifically the starting pitching. The bullpen was great last night, but you know, I think it kind of got lost with the rain delay. What did you think about the starter last night and how Grant Holmes performed?
Well, Spencer Schwellenbach was tremendous in last night's game for sure. And that's just something we've come to expect from him. I just got done putting together a long piece for the Marietta Daily Journal, which should be out tomorrow, where it's not just enough to, you know, hear from Spencer Schwellenbach, who will tell you a little bit about what his insights are and how he was feeling out there and all the good stuff that you hear from an athlete after a start and how they performed. But I wanted to get a feeling from some other Braves. What exactly is it that makes him so special and helps him do what he does? And Grant Holmes said that it's consistency. It helps that every pitch of the six pitches that he throws are elite, but it's just the consistency and the work ethic and the fact that it just seems like he's the same pitcher every time he goes out there. And that is saying a lot for a young arm who had 110 minor league innings, had basically his career as soon as he was drafted derailed by elbow surgery, and then came up to the big leagues last year, and all he did was throw a career-high number of innings and has just picked up right where he left off last year. Looks even better this year. Austin Riley also had a lot of praise for just, you know, how excellent those pitches are. And then I asked Drake Baldwin, what's it like to catch a guy like this? And he said, we know he tells us we've got the six pitches, but he also has a plan for which ones of them he wants to use against what hitter it is. He's already got that kind of mapped out. So it's not, hey, I'm going to go up and face every hitter and I'm going to show him six pitches. If he thinks he can get you out with two or three, he'll go with those two or three. If he needs to make adjustments, he'll do that off the back end. So it's just very impressive to see a pitcher at 24, soon to be 25 years old, with such a limited amount of innings, who was a shortstop in college, come up and do the kind of stuff that he's done. And it's still, to me, crazy to talk about a pitcher that throws six different pitches and none of them are just to show me it's in my back pocket every once in a while. It's six pitches he believes in, he throws with conviction.
He looks great, man, as we said, until Chris Sale gets it dialed into like Cy Young form. He is the ace right now, man. Grant, the other thing, the bullpen, much maligned at times this season, bullpen. They did a great job last night, especially the pressure of extra innings for the most part.
Yeah, and I think it's going to kind of come together. I mean, there was some wonky stuff on the road trip. I mean, we can question, all right, if Hector Neris is good enough to throw in a one-run game, how's he getting DFA'd 3 days later? I don't know what the answer to that is, but it kind of was what it was. Maybe he could have benefited from the same thing that Craig Kimbrell's having, which is extended time in Florida to get himself ready after being signed late and having the opportunity to go throw somewhere else. But overall, you're going to need different guys at different times. It can't just be Raisel Iglesias and Daisbo Hernandez and Dylan Lee and Pierce Johnson that do all the heavy lifting. You're going to have some others. Maybe Rafael Montero will be able to help out in that regard. Aaron Bummer's on the bereavement list. I'm not sure what all the details are with that, but obviously something going on family-wise for him. So he'll be out for a little while, but he's another guy that you look at and you need him to be the veteran that he is and come in and throw you some quality innings. And I think for the most part, he's done that as well. But you'll keep adding and subtracting, I guess, from the bullpen. It's kind of attrition throughout the course of the year by performance or by injury or by both, and you'll figure out what works for you. But hopefully, this is a sign of things to come, that this is a pen that obviously knows its job and just kind of has to figure out whose role is what and how they can best help the team.
What do you think about the fake Marcell Ozuna?
No, I mean, it's impressive. I've seen that guy around the ballpark. He's in a Manny Pena jersey, and you don't miss that too often because
no.
Pena was here, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Right.
He was in the Sean Murphy trade. I think he played like a week for the Braves before he got hurt. So, you know, I'm always, this is a little inside baseball, all pun intended for me, I'm always looking at the jerseys people are wearing. I'm fascinated by them. Like, why do you show up at a Braves game wearing a Derek Jeter jersey? I don't know.
Right.
But some people do. It's just a lot of the oddball behavior. But then I look for, okay, who has bought the different random game-used jerseys from the game-used store? Because I like to go look at those. And the Manny Pena one always, you know, popped out to me. But this guy in full uniform, in his Big Bear glory last night, I think that's a little bit of something you can also draw from, because, you know, the Braves and their fans went through it the first week. So every little place that you're able to maybe derive a little bit of joy, you're going to, I think, latch on to that, except for the train horn. I don't think we need as much of the train horn.
It's like when they had that extra innings game with the Mets and they did with the fireworks at like 4 a.m. It is
a lot like that.
Grant McCauley's with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, so when are we going to see Strider?
So I think the news now is that, as we expected, Spencer Strider, after that terrific start for Gwinnett yesterday afternoon, is going to accompany the club on this road trip, throw a side session. Now, clearly he was feeling good enough to, A, get on the plane and head down to Tampa. And then I think they could line him up to start on Wednesday against the Toronto Blue Jays. So that, obviously, we've talked about this a lot, could be a huge boost for this club. And the way he's looking, I mean, it's exactly the kind of thing you need if you're trying to stabilize your pitching staff. So we could be seeing him very soon, and some would argue maybe not a moment too soon to get Spencer Strider back in the rotation.
All right. The latest on Acuna, let's recap this again for those who might have missed it yesterday. Going back to L.A., and then what happens?
Yeah, so he'll head out to Los Angeles. Doctors will take a look at him, and they will just go ahead and, I think, just give him that final sign-off on changing direction while he's running. That's in the bases, you know, ramping up his outfield work, you know, all the things that he needs to do to be a 100% and cleared to do all of the baseball activities. Now, he's not going to need to do that for a number of weeks afterwards. This is more of just a final sign-off, and go ahead and get out on a rehab assignment shortly after that. So he's gotten a ton of at-bats down in Florida. Brian Snitker said those at-bats, I don't know what the exchange rate is for the major leaguers that he's going to be facing, but he's had the swing working. He's been doing everything he can. This is kind of that final hurdle that he needs to clear to get himself out on the rehab assignment and get himself back with a big league club, perhaps in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
All right, guys, we're looking for the bounce. And I know, Grant, we've said this a million times, and we've said this about the Hawks. We've said this about, the Braves last year. Is this the game? I mean, because of the nature of it, you know, kind of like a big vibe against a rival that's really been, you know, keeping, let's be honest, us out of moving any further in the postseason. Is this the game that is the springboard?
Yeah, I think it has to be here in the early going. And, you know, Austin Riley talked about this yesterday when asked about, okay, well, you know, are you looking at this series? Are you looking at the next series? Are you looking at the month of April? Is it too early to look at the standings? The answer to that last one, I can tell you, is yes. He said, we just got to go day to day with this. You know, we didn't start out the way we want to. That's no secret. Everybody knows it, but we can't spend any more time dwelling on that. And I think winning games the way that they did, winning series the way that they did, because think about it, they were, you know, and again, almost doesn't count, but they were pretty close to having a chance to sweep away the Phillies in that series. That's coming a long way from the club that came back from the West Coast 0-7. Could you argue maybe they should have been 2-5? Probably. However, it didn't work out that way. So they've gotten some wins I think they very much needed. Now they need to keep this momentum going out on the road and see if they can't come home with a little better trip this time around.
You like the fact, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it, but Mike was mentioning the ticket prices down there in Tampa because they're playing at the, you know, the training facility of the Yankees. I think that's kind of cool, to be honest with you.
$8 to get in there tomorrow, Grant.
I think that's very cool. I mean, you're going to have to get creative when you're a major league team that gets displaced, and obviously the circumstances of that are regrettable. But, you know, Tampa Bay baseball fans, of which I promise there are some, I work for that organization, they've been through a lot, clearly, and they have had a very good team for the majority of the last decade plus. So, yeah, it's an interesting.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Interesting situation, but I think if you're not embracing the full opportunity to make this as fan-friendly as possible, then you are absolutely missing the point. So I think it's very neat to be able to get into a major league regular season game if it's got to be played there and maybe not have to take out a second mortgage to do it.
Is this the week that everyone comes back from Easter vacation, or this is the Easter vacation for kids to be away from, like Disney World and stuff? This is the time.
What they call, it's their spring break,
right.
I guess. Yes.
Because, Grant, I got to be honest, I'm looking right now, like lower level, I mean, literally behind the home plate, like for $41. I mean, you couldn't beat that if I was. So anyway, if you got friends that are down in Disney World or doing Busch Gardens or something, hey, psst, swing on over to Tampa.
It's real.
Because you can't beat it. By the way, the Braves look great. The other teams in this division, the Mets, I mean, do you feel it's going to kind of – the Mets are going to get their ish together, or you feel like this is as good as it's going to be, or the Mets get healthy, that'll be better? The Phillies, we kind of already saw what they've got. Their bullpen is a little inconsistent too. So what is your take on the division so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm not going to make any big determination based on the first couple of weeks, because the Mets showed us last year they can get off to a slow start and then they find another gear and got themselves into the postseason when I don't think anybody expected it. Now, those expectations are completely different when you start talking about the Philadelphia Phillies. We know who they are.
Right.
Marlins and Nationals, I don't know. There's some young players in Washington are worth watching. Are they going to be able to take a big step forward? Not so sure about that, but I've said this and I'll continue to say it. Every single year, there's a club that, you know, they may not win the division, but they're going to cause somebody else a really hard time in trying to win it. So all of those games are important, obviously, head-to-head. There aren't as many of them anymore. But from a big-picture standpoint, I don't think we've had quite enough to know who exactly right. is going to be where at the end of September. But I definitely think that the Braves, the Mets, and the Phillies, they've got plenty of time in front of them to turn this thing into quite a fight. And that's kind of what I expected coming into the year. Certainly from Philadelphia. Can't rule out the Mets. And for the Braves, I mean, their expectation every year is to win this division, and they've just got to get things turned around so they can give themselves a chance to do that.
Well, one thing for certain, the Mets just had a 6-game win streak snapped by the Marlins. So they're obviously doing something right, mm-hmm. but I don't know much about Toronto other than they gave Vlad the big deal. So, yeah, so Rays and then Toronto, hopefully we can put our own little stretch together of maybe 5 out of 6 or something.
Yeah, that would certainly be what you want. I mean, the Blue Jays are an interesting team in that they do have some young stars. Obviously, they're keeping Guerrero around. Will they keep Bo Bichette? We'll find out. I don't think he's been quite as productive, obviously, and that's an understatement, as Guerrero has to get a $500 million deal, but he is a talented young player, so they've got to make that decision. They've got some pretty good pitchers, too. And the Rays, I don't know. Every single year, you look at them and you think, oh, well, maybe this is when they finally run out of whatever magic dust it is they sprinkle on these players that they get. But then you look around in the middle of the summer and you're like, oh, they're right there in the wild card, or, oh, they're sitting on top of the American League East, which may not happen this year, but they're a club I never look over. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the Braves match up with a couple of clubs that certainly plan on being competitive this year and have the players to do it.
Great stuff, Grant. As always, have a great weekend. When are you on this weekend?
I will be on Sunday night from 5 to 7. We'll recap everything going on for the Braves. I'll check in with my buddy Neil Solons, who does play-by-play for the Tampa Bay Rays. And I'll also have a little bit more on Spencer Schwellenbach. Some of those interviews I did, going to play those on From the Diamond. It's 5 to 7 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.